How do you do? Have you ever seen a drinking fountain that spurts brackish water as well as fresh? Not likely. We need and desire pure water. The same is true of words. The man in this story spewed vile and violent words for many years. Yet there came a time when he began offering good words of hope and love, because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Don't look now, Tom, but two cops just walked in.
So?
The bouncer pointed this way. Oh, and here they come. That ruckus you had.
Well, man's got to stand up for himself.
Yeah, even if he breaks a few bottles and bones.
Hey, you, come with us. You're under arrest.
What for?
Disorderly conduct, public drunkenness.
From the crossroads of life, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Transient. That's how some folks characterize homeless people who drift from one place to another seeking shelter. When they come to Pacific Garden Mission, however, they find a place to pause until they're able to go back to their neighborhoods and provide for themselves and their families. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission offers a clean, safe bunk, nourishing meals and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children who have neither the means nor the ability to change their lives. The Old Lighthouse in Chicago offers the chance to start fresh and purge the deceptions that shackled them to failure. This begins when they open their heart to the one who changes everything. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3216 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I was so worried, Tom. Where were you last night?
Well, I got in some trouble.
Oh, what kind of trouble?
A fight. Afterward, I sat there at the bar. Thought about things. Seems like I've been fighting all my life, Donnelly.
Don't you think some of it's caused by the alcohol?
Not some of it, most of it. So the cops come and hauled me away. Threw me in the tank with 28 winos. What a smell. Some of them were hallucinating. Some of them were lying in their own vomit. If I don't stop drinking, that'll be me.
Yes, I know.
I quit. I'm never taking another drink.
Would the man in our story keep his promise, or would he relapse? We'll hear the answer in part two of this sequel to the true testimony of John Thomas Allen from the classic files of Unshackled.
I hadn't given my poor wife, Donna Lee, any reason to think I'd stay sober. 5 years of marriage, I spent much of my time drinking and fighting, often leaving Donna Lee and our children without money or transportation. But I was determined to stay sober, work hard, support my growing family. However, it didn't take long for my resolve to be tested. I'll see who it is.
Hey, John, let's go have a drink.
No, I don't drink anymore.
Yeah, sure. That's what they all say.
No, I mean it now. I quit for good.
Well, you can still go out and spend some time with your old buddy, can't you? Come on, let's go.
We went to a beer joint, where I still wouldn't drink. He was so angry, told me to leave, so I did, and I was glad to go home. Life was better in some ways without alcohol. I didn't waste all my money and time in bars. But liquor had been my best friend for years, my consolation when life turned sour, my merriment when all went well. Now I had nothing except my anger. I was a dry drunk. Girl!
Tom, you'll scare the kids.
Well, that's tough. They gotta learn that life isn't a bed of roses.
Well, what's wrong anyway?
Well, I told the girls to get their rooms clean, and it's still not done.
Well, they were all working hard.
Well, where are they? Girls, front and center.
Yes, Daddy?
Didn't I tell you girls to clean your rooms?
Yes, Daddy. We did our best.
Well, you did a sloppy job. When you do something, do it right. You hear? Nobody's going to pay you for a half-hearted effort. You have to do your best all the time. Now get in there and get them clean, and don't make me have to tell you again.
My earliest memories of Daddy were of fear. I remember running and hiding from him when he came home from work, afraid of what he might say or do to Mom or us kids. He ran a construction company by day and worked as a millwright in a factory at night. In between, he sold hats and cut meat. He routinely rushed around in a hurry, always busy, never calm. Daddy had a bad temper, but a man at work was influencing him.
Break time, John.
Well, I had to break a few necks.
Everybody makes mistakes, John. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Some people don't even get close, Cullum.
You work too hard.
Well, I have to. Kids need food and shoes, and they just keep on growing.
If they didn't, you'd have them forever. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward.
Well, He sure rewarded me.
How many you have now?
8, and another one on the way.
Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed.
That guy that wrote that never had kids.
God wrote that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is the word of God.
Yeah? God never had kids.
John, all Christians are called the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So I'm one of millions of His kids.
That includes you? Lord, have mercy.
Don't judge the Lord by me. I'm ashamed of how I failed Him.
You sure quote the Bible a lot.
That proves my point, buddy. Sometimes children are disobedient. They don't do as they're told. They know the truth, but they don't necessarily follow it.
Well, maybe he needs a spank more often.
He does that, too, by letting us suffer the consequences of our actions. But it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance.
So I'm a child of God, too?
Not unless you're born again. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
What promise?
The promise of resurrection. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ died for their sins and places their trust in Him will never die. The Bible promises, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Well, if Jesus is God's only begotten Son, then how can you call yourself a child of God?
We're adopted into God's family.
Adopted, huh? Cullum, if you know all this, why do you leave such a rotten life?
I told you, John, I'm not an obedient child.
Mom was a saint. She never stopped believing that Daddy would come to the Lord. She prayed for him continuously. Daddy kept his promise and didn't touch alcohol after 1964. And nearly 8 years elapsed.
Is Daddy coming home for dinner?
Oh, I'm sure he will.
I hope he's in a better mood than he was this morning.
Well, honey, he has a lot on his mind.
Why is he so grouchy all the time, Mom?
He doesn't know the Lord, honey. He didn't grow up in a Christian home, never was exposed to Christianity. He grew up fighting. That's all he knows.
I know people who don't believe in God, and they don't have bad tempers.
Well, when he was 20, your daddy was falsely accused of robbery and sent to prison for a while. Think how angry you'd be about that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
He was exonerated, but maybe he hasn't forgiven them. You have to learn to forgive the offenders in this life. Somewhere in the Bible, in Proverbs, I think, it says it is to a man's glory to pass over a transgression. And Jesus said, "If ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses."
During the years after I quit drinking, I was still a hideous sinner, running around on Donna Lee, chasing money and women. As my co-worker Cullum continued to quote scripture, I fell under increasing conviction of my sin. Sometimes he read passages from the Bible to me.
Listen to this, John. It's Jesus talking to his disciples. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Well, now you can't lose your own soul, Cullum. It's eternal.
That's not what the Lord said. He said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell."
You really think hell is real?
You better believe it. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Listen to this, 2 Peter chapter 2. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. God judges sin, and judgment is coming to everyone in the world. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished."
The scripture he read ate through my shell of indifference until finally I couldn't stand it any longer.
In a moment, we'll learn what John did about his conflict. The one who laid the foundation of the earth has become the sure foundation of our lives. That's what men and women learn when they enroll in the Bible program at Pacific Garden Mission. Many of the teachings in the Mission Bible program are contained in our Gospel of John Bible study that we offer free of charge. 6 lessons in all. Each lesson is based on some aspect of the Gospel of John. All you need is a pencil and a Bible, and the desire to deepen your relationship with the Lord. As you complete a lesson, return it to the mission, and we'll send the next one. To begin your free Gospel of John Bible study, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
You look like a wild man.
I am. If I don't choose God today, I may not have another chance. I've got to find a church and someone to help me, Cullum.
So you want to be saved?
Yes.
All right, John. It's time for me to make a change, too.
Cullum knew of a nearby church that taught from the Bible, and we immediately went there. When the pastor came out to greet us, my friend explained my need for salvation and his need to dedicate his life to the Lord. The pastor addressed me.
"Why don't you come to my office, John?"
"No, I think I need to go down to that altar."
"That's fine. Do you know about repentance, turning from your sin?"
"Well, just what my friend told me."
"The Lord is holy, and we are not. Let's humble ourselves and get on our knees before him. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So none of us is righteous. We're all born in sin and separated from God. Do you agree?"
"Yes."
"Good. Do you believe that God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins?"
"Well, yes, I do."
"Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, 'But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.' And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, 'For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.' Christ died for our sins to satisfy God's requirement that sin's penalty is death. Without shedding of blood is no remission. When you believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and when you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save you, God will save you. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Oh, save me, Lord. I repent my sins. I'm a terrible sinner. Have mercy and save me. Guess what happened to me today?
What?
I prayed to God for salvation, and He saved me from hell.
Do you mean it?
I sure do. Colum took me to a church, and I got on my knees and prayed, asking God to be merciful to me, a sinner, one of the worst.
Oh, Tom, you don't know how long I've prayed for this. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Donna Lee, I've never felt so good in my life. I'm taking the family to church from now on, and we're all going to read the Bible.
Daddy was a changed man after that. He quit smoking and cursing and started reading the Bible with an urgency. He loved the Lord and told everyone who would listen how Jesus had saved him. He and Mom took us to church every Sunday, and he prayed with us every night. Daddy was a captivating speaker, and he began visiting jails and missions to give his testimony.
I grew up watching fights and loving to fight, but I didn't realize that the biggest fight of all was going on in my heart, and yours too. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Bible says, "The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word reveals your wickedness to you like a mirror, so you repent and change. That's why God's children should read the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But you must be born again to understand God's word and purpose. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Daddy was saved in 1972. 4 years later, his testimony was told on Unshackled. He had the privilege of leading many people to the Lord, from prisoners to street people at missions. He had a great burden for those lost friends he grew up with. He wanted them to experience the forgiveness of sins that he enjoyed. God really blessed him, and one by one, all of us children were saved. Daddy still worked at the factory and became the assistant Sunday school superintendent at church. Then he made a bold decision.
You were accepted in the Coast Guard today?
Yes, the reserves. They took me in as a petty officer first class.
Oh, that's wonderful, Tom.
Remarkable. After 17 years and 12 children, I passed the physical and everything.
Well, you've kept in shape. 17 years. Has it been that long since you left the Army?
Yes. The Coast Guard unit has 9 officers and 65 enlisted men. What an opportunity to be a witness for Christ.
Don't they have a chaplain?
No. This unit has never had a chaplain.
Will you be gone much?
Well, 2 weeks of training in San Francisco and 1 weekend a month of drill. And after that, I'll go to different ports in the U.S. for 2 weeks.
I'm proud of you, honey.
I want to serve my country as I serve the Lord with my whole heart. I loved being in the Coast Guard. I was still working as a millwright in a factory with 2,000 employees. We made farm equipment, and I worked in the center of the factory. After my testimony was broadcast on Unshackled, I would pass out Unshackled booklets to the men. It thrilled my heart to see them reading those booklets during break time.
Do you believe all this, John?
Absolutely.
Pretty amazing that a man could change that much.
I will praise him forever for saving a sinner like me.
I thought you were always a straight arrow.
Far from it. Never went to church till the day I was saved 7 years ago. Before that, I was a rowdy drunk, always getting in fights.
Are you the one that started the Monday morning prayer breakfast here?
Sure did. You should come to one. We have good speakers.
Maybe I will.
I preach at the rescue mission downtown on Tuesday evening, too.
You take religion seriously.
It isn't religion, Joe. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He died to give me new life. Least I can do is tell others how they can be saved, too.
The economy took a dive in the early 80s, and Daddy was laid off at the factory in Memphis. With a large family to support, he and Mom prayed a lot about what to do. Daddy was offered a job with the same company in Springfield, Ohio, so he moved the family there, leaving behind his grown children and taking the five younger ones.
You kids see that sign on the freeway?
Wrong way.
That's the one. God gives us signs in our life so we can tell we're going the wrong way. What do you think those signs are?
Getting in trouble?
That's right. But even if you think you're getting away with something, remember, the Bible says in Job, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" God knows everything about you. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake."
What if it's a bad ordinance?
Well, then we have to change the law. Until then, we honor God by obeying the law.
God gave us a roadmap for life, didn't he, kids?
Yep, the Bible.
That's right, the Bible. And don't you ever be afraid to speak God's word in any situation. Give other people good signs to follow. If you're joyous, give God the praise and glory. If you're in a scary situation, cry out to him for deliverance like the psalmist. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
So, if you're going the wrong way, what do?
Turn around and go the other way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Good for you, honey.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Daddy was not faultless, but he taught us endlessly by example and by taking us to church every time the doors were open. He loved all of us very deeply. He taught us to never be lazy, but to see a job through to completion. I love to hear Daddy pray.
Lord, I will praise you forever for saving a sinner like me. I want to glorify you with my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you for Jesus, for your wonderful peace.
Daddy retired in 1992, and he and Mom moved to be near the older children and other family members. He remained active in witnessing his faith wherever he went. I met Daddy for breakfast one Saturday morning at a local restaurant.
So why are you asking all these questions, sweetheart?
I just want to know you better, Daddy. Your past.
Don't you know that God doesn't want us wallowing in the past? The Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old."
Isaiah chapter 43. But then a few chapters later, God says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me."
You're supposed to remember who God is and what he's done. But forget the sins of the past, because as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
I always love to hear you quote scripture, Daddy.
God's word is our spiritual food.
It's also our only weapon against the enemy of our soul.
Amen. You've learned well.
You're a good father to us kids. Thank you for working so hard to raise us, Dad. You taught us well.
After I came to Jesus, he turned my life around.
For 2 years, I met my dad every Saturday for breakfast. He was always friendly to the customers and the cashiers. Everyone loved Dad. Then, on July 30th, 2011, Dad didn't answer his phone when I called. So I called my sister, and we went to his house to check on him. He had gone home to heaven. He was having breakfast with Jesus. I called my younger sister, who lived in Ohio. Me neither.
How's Mom doing?
She's okay. You'll drive down for the funeral?
Oh, yes. We all love Daddy so much.
You never knew him before he was saved.
No, I was only 2 months old when he came to Christ. To me, he was always loving and kind. He was a broken vessel, but God used him mightily.
A lot of people know Jesus Christ because of our dad.
Yes.
A man he worked with is going to do the eulogy at the funeral.
I knew two John Allens, the old John Allen and the new John Allen. I met the old John Allen when I was 25 years old. The old John Allen liked to talk about everything. He did a lot of things he shouldn't have done, things we all do. He set the wrong example for a young man, but I liked it. Then one day, I met the new John Allen, and I thought he'd gone crazy. All he talked about was Jesus Christ. John's life changed 100%. I had to get to know him all over again as he set the example for me to follow. John read his Bible to me every day because he knew I wouldn't read it on my own. He had a little cubbyhole at work where he had his quiet time with God. I sat in that cubbyhole many times as he told me about Jesus. Then my little boy died, and John helped me through those dark days. That's when I was saved. 7 days a week, John Allen lived what he believed, and he finished strong for God.
Daddy did finish strong for God. Always bold and deliberate, never shy. Daddy spoke the word in season and out of season. We all miss him, but we are confident that we will see him again someday in heaven.
What about you, listening friend? Do you have the assurance of going to heaven when you die? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You don't have to face God's judgment if you let the Lord Jesus Christ stand in your place. He took God's righteous judgment of your sin at the cross. Trust him. If you need help in making this life-transforming decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3216. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you brightens our day, so please write soon. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.